You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. Rob Ferret and Veronica Rickard are off today. Coming up on Wisconsin Life, we'll hear stories about the city of Milwaukee during World War II. First, the Supreme Court upheld Connecticut's ban on assault weapons this morning. The court decided it would not hear challenges from gun rights advocates to review weapons bans that were put in place after the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting. The decision came without comment from the court. It also came when emotions are high around the issue of gun control so soon after 49 people were killed by a man with an assault weapon at a gay nightclub in Orlando. Joining us now to tell us more about the Supreme Court's decision is Ryan Owens. He's a professor of political science at UW-Madison and the incoming director of the Tommy Thompson Center on Public Leadership. Ryan, thanks so much for joining us today.
Sure, you bet, Judith.
So a lower court decision said lawmakers were justified in banning assault weapons in Connecticut. Does the Supreme Court's refusal to hear the challenge to that decision basically say that it's all right for local lawmakers to ban weapons?
Well, I'm glad you asked that. People in the media often report on the court's decision not to hear a case as the court actually affirming that case or upholding the lower court's decision. And that is just technically wrong. The court, all it did today was say that it wasn't going to weigh in on this particular case and this particular controversy. So we really can't take much away from that other than to say that at this time, the court didn't see much of a justification to involve itself in the dispute.
So how often would you say does the court defer to state laws on Second Amendment, that is, gun rights related cases?
Well, it hasn't heard a decision on the Second Amendment since 2010, or at least it hasn't given us a sort of a full-throated decision since 2010. And before that, the most current one was in 2008. But those are the two big ones in recent years. It really hasn't gotten involved in the situation, the discussion over the Second Amendment for a very long time.
And what is behind that? Why have they been reluctant, perhaps is the word, to hear these types of cases?
Sure. Well, I think there's a couple of reasons. If we just take a look first at the cases before the court today, there were two cases that were consolidated together, and the court was deciding whether to hear them. In one of those cases, the petitioner was pro se, meaning he was representing himself. And the record in the case was just really it was just terrible factually, just a garbage record. So it's not surprising that the court didn't hear that one. The other one wasn't great either, but the court could have heard that. Now, why doesn't it get involved in these? Well, frankly, I think for a long time there really wasn't a push by, I suppose, predominantly the left to pass much gun control legislation. But I think you've seen that ramp up quite a bit in recent years. Certainly in the Clinton administration, there were some bills there that were advocated. But now I think if you take a look at social media and certainly the presidential primary for the Democrats, you see a lot of rhetoric about assault weapon bans and gun control. And it's something that has picked up steam, I think, in the national media lately. And so I wouldn't be surprised then if the court doesn't get more involved with it in the future.
Does this on some level come down to a states' rights argument that the court might be saying, we're not going to say how this really applies to the Second Amendment, but local jurisdiction does allow for different communities, states, cities to make that decision for themselves?
No, it doesn't. If you looked at the court's decision in 2010 on this, advocates of gun control legislation made that argument that, hey, this is about states' rights. And Justice Alito's opinion said, it's kind of rich that you're advocating for states' rights right now, when the states are trying to pass gun control legislation. But over the last 50, 60 years, when you were trying to expand federal rights in areas of criminal law and others, you were totally against states' rights. So I think that's more or less just it's just a positional argument that people are making who want to support the gun control position, and the court is not buying into it at all.
We're talking with Ryan Owens. He's a professor of political science at UW-Madison and the incoming director of the Tommy Thompson Center on Public Leadership. We're talking about the U.S. Supreme Court's decision today to not hear some challenges to some local restrictions on assault rifles. So we are faced with a 4-4 court on many issues since the death of Justice Antonin Scalia. Is that playing any role in their decisions to take on cases like these or other cases around guns rights?
Yeah, I think it is. Just in general, the cases. I think we've seen the court relist a number of petitions, which is to say that they've put it off for their next conference. I think we've seen them relisting some more cases than they have in the past. And most people seem to think that's a consequence of the 8-person court. I think the justices are, you know, quite bright about these things, right? They recognize that they're likely to have an 8-person court at the beginning of the next court term, and so I suspect there are a number of cases that they are deciding not to hear that they otherwise might. Sure, I think that's definitely likely.
We know that the U.S. Supreme Court is supposed to be an apolitical body, but of course the justices are appointed by sitting presidents. Of course, they are part of the larger culture, as we all are. As mm-hmm. you said, there has been something of a change in politicians being willing to kind of touch that third rail of gun control in light of so many tragedies, Orlando being the most recent. Mm-hmm. Does that maybe, even if it's a very small shift right now, does that seeming shift in the sands on gun control influence the court at all?
It might. I mean, I certainly think that among the most recent two appointees to the court, there is a position that's maybe not particularly friendly to gun rights. Justice Sotomayor in particular, I think, is not predisposed in favor of them. What is interesting is Justice Kagan used to go hunting with Justice Scalia regularly. So I'm not sure that's going to sway her very much, but it is an interesting tidbit of information. Yeah, I mean, the notion that the court is apolitical is, of course, a farce. Anybody who sort of watches the court knows that justices do come to the court with their preferences, their predispositions. And we've certainly seen that play out in the court over the last few years, maybe more than in other recent terms. I mean, the court's liberal bloc has stuck together very, very tightly over the last 15 to 20 years. And the conservative bloc has not quite done that as well. Justice Kennedy sort of wavered back and forth, and so has Justice O'Connor. So it is interesting to see how the court is deciding a lot of these 8-person opinions. I'll be very interested to see what happens in the Texas immigration case and what happens in the affirmative action case.
There are a few legal concepts that are more ardently held in very different ways than the Second Amendment. People who are very pro-gun rights say that the Second Amendment is clear. We all have the right to bear arms and to protect ourselves. There are other people on the other side, on gun control advocate side, who will say clearly the founding fathers did not have any concept of the kind of assault rifles that are available now. There's no way that weapons like that fall under the Second Amendment. From a constitutional legal standpoint, how would you explain those two positions, and does one or the other hold more sway with you?
Well, so first off, I mean, my views on this, I suppose, are irrelevant. But if you look at, sort of the founding era debates, there is some ambiguity there as to whether or not the text of the Second Amendment generates an individual right, or whether it's something that was created just to keep, as it says, a well-ordered militia. It's, that ambiguity is there. It's hard to decide what is what. But I think, the court's analysis in the Heller case in 2008 was a pretty good historical overview of, founding era debates. And I think the court probably came down, it certainly came down in a position that is constitutionally justified. But as you say, I mean, there are people who oppose that position, and they do have some legal arguments to support them. this is one of those areas where the Constitution is somewhat ambiguous, although, as I said, I think the court's decision in Heller was probably right. And with that ambiguity, of course, comes conflict. And I think gun rights proponents often see arguments being made by gun control advocates as sort of being sort of missing the point, right? So after the Orlando shootings, everybody said we can't have these automatic weapons. We have to get rid of them. Well, it turns out that these didn't occur with automatic weapons, right? So I think a lot of people on that position for gun control, or excuse me, for gun rights, see the arguments made by gun control advocates and think, look, they're not telling the truth on this, and what they're trying to do is just push an agenda. And of course, you know, people on the left look at the NRA and think, you know, all they're doing is just sort of conspiring to scare members of Congress. So it's just an area of constitutional ambiguity that generates political controversy. You know, I think that the court's decision in Heller was a reasonably, reasonably designed opinion. But I don't see this argument going away anytime soon.
Well, Ryan, thanks so much for joining us today.
Yeah, you bet. Thank you.
That was Ryan Owens. He's a professor of political science at UW-Madison and the incoming director of the Tommy Thompson Center on Public Leadership. He talked with us about the Supreme Court's refusal today to hear cases that challenge state bans on assault weapons.